Welcome to the Driving Your Marketing Podcast, where small business entrepreneurs come to discover the strategies, systems, and tools to kick their marketing into high gear. If you want to go from surviving small business owner to thriving entrepreneur, you're in the right place. Let's get ready to roll. All right. Welcome, everybody. This is another episode of the Driving Your Marketing Podcast, where we help small business entrepreneurs come to discover the strategy, systems, and tools to kickstart their marketing into high gear. Today, my special guest, I should probably introduce myself first. You know, it's been a while since I actually recorded one of these, so I'm kind of a little bit off, and I'm still recovering from a long trip last week. My name is Eli Delaney. For those of you that are just getting in here, I'm the co-founder of Your Marketing University and the creator of the Driving Your Marketing Podcast. And everything that we do, all the parts and pieces around our business are based around what we can do to help small business owners grow their businesses. You know, it's so funny because when I do a lot of speaking and I find a lot of people, when I ask them, you know, what are you doing to market yourself? And do you actually love marketing your business? And most of the time they say no. The biggest reason is because they find it to be scary. A lot of times I find people that actually think that marketing is voodoo and, you know, some kind of black magic. They just don't get it. Our goal is to be able to bring the resources to show you that it's not scary. It's not complicated. It's all stuff that you can actually do. And the cool thing is a lot of this stuff is stuff you can do on your own. And today I am very, very honored to have a new friend of mine, Alfred Poor. And he and I had a great conversation. I actually just got his book in the mail, so I haven't even had a chance to read it yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I already thumbed through it, saw some great, great stuff. Now, Alfred is a professional speaker and writer with a particular passion for helping small businesses, and that's exactly why he and I got along so well and why I wanted to do an interview with him. You know, as the owner of a very small business himself for the past 30 years, he understands the challenges of wearing too many hats and having too little money or time to get everything done. He focuses on marketing as one of the ways to help small businesses succeed, and he can be found by prospective clients and building relationships all over. He is the co-author of more than a dozen books, and the book that I was talking about specifically is Power Marketing for Small Business, and it shows how online video can give your company a competitive edge without investing a lot of time or money. So, Alfred, thank you so much for joining us in today's call.
Well, thank you so much, Eli. I'm thrilled to be here. And, you know, it's funny. One of the things you were saying in the beginning there about talking to small business owners about marketing, I ask a lot of people the same question and get very similar responses. One of the things I love to say is that, you know, a lot of people start a small business. I ask them, you know, how many people here started your small business because you just love to do payroll? You know, nobody loves to do payroll except for maybe accountants, which makes sense. But in general, you know, they started their business because they have a passion to help people, they have some product or service that they really care about, and that's the driving force for them. And yeah, you got to do payroll because you got to keep your employees paid. And yeah, you got to do marketing because if you don't market your product or service, nobody shows up. I get that. And I get it that people aren't as much in love with marketing as you and I are. But the point I try to make to small business owners is that you're going to be marketing your business whether you do it intentionally or not. And so why not put a little time and effort into it so that you're doing it intentionally and that you have a plan and then the pieces fit together, rather than just let things happen, just, you know, stick a sign up by the roadside and hope for the best. And so that's where my passion is, you know, helping businesses see how they can make some conscious decisions and make some productive choices.
Well, very cool. And that's one of the things with that I always find funny, because most of the time when I am, you know, when I start working with clients, my goal is to teach them to start loving marketing and having fun with it. And most, they're very, very resistant right at first. They think it's scary. And they, once we start working with them for a while, we see that they actually start really enjoying it, because marketing can actually be a lot of fun. And my goal is to get people to love marketing as much as I do and realize that there's so much out there that you can do, and you can really have a good time with it. And, you know, for me, you know, you talked about, you know, can you ever love doing payroll? I don't think that that's something I could ever do. Just yeah, that whole part. I don't mind writing checks if it gets me to be able to buy new cool toys or something, but that's a whole different creature. So tell me, since we just kind of started off with this, kind of give us a little bit of a background of where, how did you get into this? How did you become the guy who loves marketing as well?
Well, of course, I started off as a classroom teacher. Doesn't everybody? So, yeah, no, I taught middle school science and realized that I loved teaching, but that I wasn't really, it wasn't a good fit for me in the classroom in 40-minute segments. And so I started looking for other things to do and went through a bunch of different things, but eventually started working as a freelance writer. And for many, many years, for over 20 years, I wrote as a freelance writer for some of the major computer publications in the country. I was a contributing editor and the first lead analyst for business displays for PC Magazine. I was the Ann Landers of the computer industry. I wrote the question and answer column for Computer Shopper magazine for more than 13 years. And so through those avenues, I got to help a lot of very small businesses put new technology to work. And then when that business started to wind down, I started looking, how can I help other people and, what's the avenue to do it? And that's how I came up with writing and speaking about marketing for small businesses. I mean, I've been marketing myself all these years and understand, that a lot of people don't like to get salesy. When they think about marketing, they often think about, that's advertising and commercial, and people don't necessarily feel comfortable with that. And I've learned a lot about how to market myself and the things that I do without being salesy about it. And I think that's a key for a lot of people.
Right. And that's one of the things too. When it comes to marketing, it's not about being that stereotypical used car salesman. That's one of the things that I get all the time too. People will actually, when I talk about marketing and I say, when you think of marketing, what words come to mind? That's one of the things that pop up as well is sleazy car salesman and that kind of thing. And I'm like, well, that's where you got a stigma against bad marketers as opposed to the good marketers. And you need to become one of the good marketers. And that's where, people like you and I have come into play to where we can teach people this kind of stuff. And I find it really funny. You mentioned some of the magazines that you wrote in. Those are the magazines I used to read years and years ago. I probably have read a lot of your articles and didn't even realize it.
Yep, it's quite likely.
Yeah.
I was in most of the issues of PC Magazine, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
Well,
you
the
talk
thing, the
go
point you
ahead.
make about the used car salesman, one of the problems people have with marketing is they feel that it's pushy somehow, that you're trying to grab the customer somehow and shake them, and if that's exactly right, I'm make the distinction between inbound and outbound marketing, and I find that that's very helpful to a lot of people. For example, outbound marketing is your traditional advertising. Your consumer's doing something. They're reading the newspaper. They're watching a television show. They're driving down the street. And outbound marketing is where you're trying to interrupt them and get your message in front of them. So stop reading that article about the baseball game and look over here at my ad in the paper, where I'm trying to sell you something. Or, we're interrupting this television show that you're watching so that I can show you our great cars. And consumers just don't like that. I mean, look at TiVo. The success of TiVo came about because it made it easy for people to record television shows and just skip over the commercials.
One of the greatest
Hugely.
inventions ever created.
Greatest inventions of all time. I don't know. Did you hear the news from Dish Network? Dish
No.
TV? They are going to be coming out with a service that for only the major networks, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, just for those, there'll be a button on the remote that will allow you to skip over the commercials on the major networks
Wow.
with their DVR. Of course, there's lawsuits going back and forth on both sides of that, but there's some very. I write a daily almanac, HDTV almanac about television and home entertainment topics and things like that. And it's a very interesting area of discussion right now, because all the traditional forms of revenue are going away for the television industry, and everybody's scrambling trying to find the money. So the point is, the consumer doesn't like these interruptions. It's not a natural, effective kind of thing. For me, much better is what we call inbound marketing. And that's where, when the consumer's asking the question, you're there with the answer. All right? I mean, that's why word of mouth is the absolute best form of marketing of all. So that when somebody says to a friend or a family member or a neighbor or whatever, I need to get my hot water heater fixed, do you know anybody? That's basically an inbound marketing opportunity, because they're looking for information for a specific need that they have. And obviously it's tough to manage that. People are always working at trying to figure out how to make word of mouth work better. But there have been other tools over the years that have worked well for inbound. And to me, the perfect example is the Yellow Pages. I mean, for years, that was the gold standard. And it works as an inbound marketing tool because people have a problem. My hot water heater's busted. Well, you go to the Yellow Pages, you open it up, and there's plumbers. And so you pick a plumber, you call them, and that is a very effective, or at least used to be a very effective tool. It still works for some markets, some industries, but on the whole, it's just not working the way it used to. I don't know about you, but the Yellow Pages that we get probably is about one third as thick as it was a few years ago. It's just gone anorexic. It's disappeared.
Yeah, ours has gotten quite a bit smaller, and we actually have the option to opt out of them now, which is kind of nice, because I haven't used in the last year of actually getting the Yellow Pages, my entire use for it was to look for clients, because I knew that that was not the effective use for them, for based on what we were doing and what was out there especially with the internet making so many changes. So I found I never picked it up to actually look for a service. I looked for who's going to be a good client that's already spending money, and I found that the Yellow Pages was a great example of that. You know, it's really kind of funny that you bring that up, because literally just last night I was at a speaking engagement, and we brought up the conversation of the Yellow Pages and how the Yellow Pages are not near as effective as they used to be. They are pretty much becoming a dinosaur. But the guy who actually teaches this class that I was a guest speaker in, he was talking about that it actually works really well for him, but he realized that it was only working in specific areas. He had been spending over $80,000 a year in his Yellow Page advertising, which I almost fell over when I heard that number, because I knew it was expensive, but usually people aren't quite spending that much. But he realized that there is one area here in the Phoenix area, which is Sun City, and it's a retirement community. And he said he gets phone calls every single day from that area from his Yellow Page ad. But the kicker was, once he realized that that's where everything was coming from, he dropped all of his other Yellow Page ads, to where now he's spending $5,000 a year on his advertising just for that one community, because that's where it works. And all the other communities he was advertising in weren't doing him any good.
Yep, exactly.
And
there's some industries. There's some industries that work well. For example, insurance agents work well.
And that's what he happens to be.
And bail bondsmen. Bail bondsmen also do well. Certain kinds of lawyers. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's the kind of service where you need it in a big hurry, and you don't have time to search around. You need somebody now. Those kind of still work. But it's interesting you say that you can opt out of getting the directory. I wonder how many people know what these 15 states have in common. We've got Wisconsin, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, Indiana, Ohio, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. They all have something in common, and that is, in all those states, the Public Utility Commission, or whoever is in charge, has told the phone company that they no longer have to distribute the white pages to their phone, their residential phone customers. They no longer have to deliver the white pages. Do you think that's going to help the yellow pages?
It would
Use
probably,
any?
Oh yeah, I mean,
Yeah,
especially
it's
in
going
the
to kill it.
communities that are going to use it, that's a major difference.
Yeah, and of course it's going to save the phone companies billions not to have to print and distribute those.
Right.
So there's, you know, major financial incentive for them, and it's going to kill the yellow pages. So the yellow pages just isn't working, not like it used to. And so the question is, if you're not going to be using the yellow pages, what do you do in order to get found?
And all right, so I think I know the answer, but I'm going to go ahead and let you give it.
All right. Everybody all at once, one, two, three, Google.
Google, yeah.
And the stat that I love about Google is there on every day now, there are 7 billion searches taken on made on Google, 7 billion, billion with a great big B. You know what that number, does that remind you of anything? That means that there's a search on Google for every man, woman, and child alive on this planet today.
Wow.
That's a lot of searches.
That is. Well, they've made it easy for us, you know, and that's the cool thing about what Google has done over the years. I mean, I know there's always stipulation of there are some love-hate situations with what they've done, but they've been the best search engine out there. There's a reason why they become the number one search engine, because they've made it so much easier. You know, from a marketer standpoint, a lot of marketers get upset with Google all the time because they change their algorithms in order to make it more difficult to rank properly and all that kind of stuff. And to be perfectly honest, I don't really hold that against them, because their whole reason for doing it is to get more perfected searches, because their job is to make the consumer happy. You know,
right.
if I'm
working
Google,
for the consumer,
yeah,
not for the advertiser.
Exactly. And if I'm out there doing a search for, you know, an Arizona plumber, and, you know, a plumber out of Oklahoma shows up, then that's irrelevant. That doesn't do me any good. Or, you know, sometimes I've had searches where they came up with a totally different topic, and that gets frustrating. So Google's always trying to make that better and more accurate in order to make it better for us as consumers, because the more the consumers use it, the more they're going to be able to get into all the other parts and pieces, which is where their advertising and stuff comes in. So
exactly.
It makes sense.
And the reason they changed the rules is that people keep coming up with ways to game the system. I mean,
yeah.
If you remember, you know, 8, 9 years ago, you'd find a search that, you know, a search result that looked exactly what you wanted, and you'd go there and you'd find just the words that you were interested in repeated over and over and over on the page, and then it was plastered with a whole bunch of banner ads and things like that for you to click on for wrinkle creams or lose weight or cheap mortgages or whatever.
Right.
Whatever was hot then. Well, the reason Google changes the rules is to keep those sites from ranking well.
Right.
And frankly, I think they're doing an excellent job of it. Yeah, it's
yeah.
frustrating at times trying to figure out what the rules are, but it's pretty effective, and it, like you say, it's a powerful, valuable tool.
Yeah. Well, and I always find that funny, because, you know, one of my mentors is Armin Morin, one of the top internet marketers out there. And that's one of the things he always talks about is, you know, people throw a fit when, you know, the Panda update came out with Google, and now they've got the Penguin update and all these goofy names that they're doing when they change their rules and tweak with their system, and everybody gets hit by it. And he's like, I'm not getting hit by any of this stuff, because I'm doing a really simple thing. I'm just following their rules and doing what they say. It's not
good.
A complicated process. Yeah, don't game the system.
Right, right.
So it does.
Honestly, you won't have a problem when they change. Usually.
Exactly.
Penguin did hammer a couple people who were doing things right, but in general, if you play straight, you're going to be okay.
Well, and unfortunately, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. Anytime you make a change to something, every once in a while, somebody, you know, get a little bit of collateral damage, and is kind of the way you kind of look at it. Sometimes it does happen, but for the most part, if one legitimate person gets hit by something like that, where, you know, 10,000 of the people trying to game the system get hit, you kind of have to just deal with that.
I can accept that.
Yeah, definitely.
So one of the things, the reason people want to game the system is because the payoffs are huge. Now, when, I don't know about you, but when I do a typical search on Google, you know, it'll say, here are the, you know, 20 hits out of 100,000 found, mm-hmm. and it took 0.2 seconds or whatever. And you look down at the bottom, and they're just, you know, hundreds or thousands of pages of hits beyond the one that you have on the first page.
Right.
Now, I'm sure you know this, but I'm not sure everybody else listening in does. Almost nobody ever clicks to the second page. Almost all the traffic is driven from those first page hits.
Right.
And Chitika, one of the big affiliate marketing services, did an interesting survey some years ago, and they went off of millions and millions of Google searches, and they found that the if you were ranked in the number one position, now I'm not talking about the paid ads that show up at the first two or three, which are paid, they put
right.
in a shaded area,
the organic
first real, list. What I call the real hit, organic mm-hmm. hit, that page on average is going to get over a third of all the traffic for that search, probably 35-36%, which is significant. If you're in the number two position, you get about 17% of the traffic. Still pretty good.
Right.
And it goes down a couple percent points each until you get down to about number 10, where you're down to about 1% of the total traffic.
Mm-hmm.
If you're number 11, you and everybody else shares about 1%.
Right.
You share that with all those other hundreds of thousands of hits. So obviously you want to be on the first page, and you want to be as high on that first page as you possibly can. And so you get there by making your site attractive to the Google search engine so it thinks that it's going to be something that people are going to be interested in. And there are a lot of ways that you can do that. And one of the ways you can do it is through the use of search engine optimization, SEO, which I'm sure a lot of people who are listening in have heard about. And that can be extremely powerful. What it means is you need to set up your web page the right way. You need to put lots of fresh content on it. The content has to be relevant to your subject area. And like you say, with the Penguin and the other things, Google keeps changing the rules. And so what worked yesterday may not work as well today. And so you really constantly have to play hot and cold, because they don't tell you what the rules are. You have to play hot and cold all the time, trying to figure out what's working, what's not, what's raising your rank, what's lowering your rank.
Right.
And frankly, I don't know of any very small business owner who has any time to play those games. The only thing that makes sense is to get a professional whose job it is to stay current with those and plays that hot and cold game and constantly is testing and constantly figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And those are the SEO companies. And some are a little shady, and, you know, the ones who promise that they'll get you in the number one position overnight, I'd be careful about, because nobody really can promise the number one position
mm-hmm.
for a search term. So I'd be cautious about them. But there are also some very reputable ones who do very good work. It's not cheap. You know, many of them charge hundreds of dollars to set you up initially, and then can be hundreds of thousands of dollars a month to maintain your site to keep the ranking high. And again, that is probably out of the budget range for a lot of very small business owners.
Right. So, well, and that's one thing. I'm always warning people about that too, because there is a lot of, you know, SEO companies that are out there that are really pretty shady guys that are
exactly.
doing, especially if you come up with somebody who does say, I promise I'll get you first page or number one listing on Google, I recommend run from those guys, because they may get you there, but generally you'll last about a week before Google just bans you completely because they've done something to game the system.
And the thing is to find somebody who you know or somebody else has recommended because they've worked with them over time and they know that they do a good job. You know, check out their clients, find out who they really work with. But again, you know, it's not inexpensive, and
right.
and a lot of companies aren't going to be able to afford that. So
right. So what can we do for those of us that don't have that kind of budget? What do you
Okay.
suggest to do some good SEO and get yourself up there?
Here is the big secret. Here is the number one, what I call the great equalizer, because there's a strategy that's used by the Fortune 500 companies, and they spend lots of money on it. And it's used by middle-sized companies. It's probably used by some of your competitors. And the fact is, I believe it is the lowest cost to you, both in terms of money and time. And that is simply putting video on your website, online video. And it's astonishing how effective it can be. Do you know John Jantz? He's got duct tape marketing.
I met him a few years back.
Well, he's one of the guys who I admire. He is excellent with strategies for, you know, low cost marketing for small businesses. He recently had a bunch. He wrote this up in his blog recently. He had a bunch of workshops that he was doing in his area, Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and he decided he had a website up to promote them, and so he decided to run an experiment. He had the site up for a while. And it was, he didn't say, but, you know, the implication was it was on second or third page of Google searches for, I think it was Small Business Marketing Workshop Kansas City or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was buried in a couple pages. He recorded a video straight into YouTube. There's a way to, you can, with a webcam or something, you can record straight into YouTube. He edited
mm-hmm.
it a little bit there. Filled out the title and the description and the other kinds of, you know, the tags and the other information that you can put in with a video. He said it in his blog, he said it took him 15 minutes to do all that. 30 minutes later, he was on the first page of Google.
Wow.
The next morning, he was number two. And I just checked it yesterday. 2 weeks later, after he put it up, and it's still in the number one spot. In fact, he's got the top three spots for that search.
Very cool.
15 minutes, no cost to him, but he, you know, he knew the tools. He, you know, he wasn't going for professional quality video, and he just did something quick with a webcam, or he already had a camera, whatever. You know, so he had some skills already invested that did help make it possible for him to do it for free. But the point is, that's available to anybody. And one of the other interesting things is he has people write in on his comments section. One guy said that his record for getting a website to first place on Google for a search by adding video was 4 minutes. And he'd done it twice.
That is awesome. So one of the kickers with that would be to actually uploading the video to YouTube and then embedding that YouTube video on your website, correct?
Exactly. That's what you do. Yeah.
Okay.
And there's really no magic there. But the point is that I like to make is that this is accessible to anybody. I don't care even if you don't have a computer, even if you never want to touch a camera. You can do all this for less than just about any other kind of marketing strategy that's available to you. One of the things is you could go out and to an agency and have them create a video for you. I was talking to a book author this morning who was talking to me about online video, and he said that he'd been given a bid for doing a book trailer. That's one of the hot things now for self-publishing
mm-hmm.
authors is to get
yep.
a book trailer on your website. He was quoted $10,000 to put a to make a 3-minute book trailer.
Wow.
For his book. And which is just ridiculous. I mean, you can get that, but you don't need to pay that much. A couple of years ago, I was doing corporate videos posted on YouTube. I did them for Western Digital. I did one for Epson. And I charged, my goal was to make it accessible to the smaller tech companies as well as the big ones. And I charged him $4,000 for that, for a 5-minute recording.
Mm-hmm.
And they were blown away that it was so little. They were expecting much, you know, having to pay much, much more than that.
Right.
So So that was a, you know, but still $4,000 is a lot for a small business.
Oh, yeah. And the funny thing is that I know I have a friend who's in the videography business, and he has been for, you know, years and years and years, probably 20, 30 years. And he and I have actually talked about the fact how the industry has changed so much that even his high-end equipment that he had, he can actually do a better job with, you know, the standard Kodak ZI-8 camera than he could with his high-end equipment, because things have changed so much.
It's so much easier. So here, I had a video project that I needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Craigslist.
Okay.
And I put up a call on Craigslist and said, I'm looking to make a 5-minute video. I want you to come and shoot it, you know, edit it, and get it all ready for publication. I got swamped. This is in the North Philadelphia, the Allentown area.
Mm-hmm.
And if you throw out the high end and the low end bids, they almost all came in around $500 or $600 for a five minute recording.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might think that this is, you know, some college kid with a camera. Well, I had a couple of those, but I had a guy who'd worked with Stephen King. I had a guy who had worked with sports networks for television broadcast. I had a guy who had a Golden Globe Award. You know, it was amazing the caliber of the people who responded to this. And this, it's all in that $500 to $600 range for the video.
Yeah. Wow. It's changed it so much.
And if you want, you know, if even the $500 is too much, go to wedding photographers, because almost all wedding photographers now do videos as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're busy on the weekends, because that's when the weddings are. And if you can fill their time by giving them a weekday, you know, fill a weekday morning, they'll give you a great price on that. And if you want to save even more money, and this is one of my favorite, go to your local local music store, guitar store or whatever, because that's where the garage bands go.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a garage band, you need a video to promote promote your band, for an audition tape, for giving to your fans, for all those things. And, you know, garage bands don't have any money, and so the people who make the videos for them are used to doing it on the cheap, so you can get a terrific deal there as well.
Right. Very cool. That's a good idea. I'd never thought about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you can end up for just, you know, it could be just for a couple $100. You can end up with a professionally shot and edited video, and you don't have to know anything about lighting or camera angles or any of that stuff. They know that. So just hire the skills that you need to get the job done, and they can do it way cheap. All you do is, you know, stand in front and do the recording, or you don't even have to be on camera. I mean, there are a lot of different kinds of messages that you can give as part of your video. This is one of the things I have in the book, in my Power Marketing for Small Business book. I present what I call the Peach Principle. The idea is that you don't want to do a commercial. You don't want to see a video that's like an ad.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you want to. The whole thing is about a relationship marketing these days. You want to establish a relationship with your customer. People buy from those who they know, like, and trust.
Right.
This is a way for them to begin to get to know you or your business or your product and start to feel attached to that and feel good about it. And so what my peach system is, gives you 5 different topics that you could use as the focus for your video, and that's for position. P is position, E is educate, A is attach, C is compete, and H is help. So, for example, help. You could talk about the kinds of things that your business does to help in the community. Maybe you sponsor a 5K for some nonprofit fundraising kind of thing. Or maybe you have some sort of food drive or something that your company participates in. Even if your company doesn't do something, well, maybe you have an employee who volunteers with seniors on the weekends or does something, and you want to highlight their contribution to the community, give them a little, you know, give them some props. And at the same time, you know, it tells the visitor, this is, you know, this could be the kind of company who I'd want to do business with. So that's basically the idea, to give you ideas of starting points about how to craft a message that you'd want to get across in 3 to 5 minutes.
Very cool. Go through and repeat what that stands, the what Peach stands for again, because I think that's some really good stuff. I mean, I'm always talking about using videos and articles to get your message out there and keep with the education-based marketing. But what you put right there was really good. I'd like you to share that one more time so everybody
sure.
makes sure that they can get that.
Okay. And the fact is that in a video, you might have a spillover into more than one of these categories. But my advice is to pick mm-hmm. one as the focal point. Okay, so it's position, educate, attach, compete, and help.
Very cool. That right there is huge because, you know what, people are always asking me, okay, how do you come up with all the ideas? What should I say? How do I, you know, what do I do to get my videos out there? And I've got some formulas that I use in order to make it super easy to come up with content, you know, to share your message and educate your prospects and your customers. That I love the way you just put that out there. It gives them basically five categories to pick from.
Exactly.
And it
exactly.
makes it so much easier.
And for many of them, you don't even have to be on camera. You know, if you have a testimonial kind of thing. I mean, one of my favorite ideas is attach is to connect to the celebrity of somebody else. I mean, that's why they use movie stars in commercials all the time,
mm-hmm.
because people like the movie star, the affection they have for the movie star gets transferred onto the product and makes people feel good about the product. You can do the same thing, but you don't have to have a movie star. Maybe you live in a town where the high school football team's a big deal. Maybe you have a pizza restaurant. Well, what if you showed up after the game with a truckload of pizzas for the team to eat in the locker room after the game, and you did a video based on the kids talking about the game and sitting there eating your pizza.
Yeah, it's just it's putting it out there, and you know, you brought up the one of the things that's such a principle, and it still blows me away. So many people don't understand this: is people buy from who they know, like, and trust. And honestly, video is probably the easiest way to start building that know, like, and trust factor without actually physically being face to face with somebody, because you can only do so much on, you know, text on a website, and you know, obviously that's important, but you really can't build that relationship near as well as when they can actually see you. If you are on, you know, if it is actually you on video, they can see the expressions on your face, they can feel like they get to know you more personal. And the great thing about that is that's where you start looking at the worldwide connections. You know, I mean, I've got connections all over the world with people, and a lot of it has been based on video. You know, when we have conversations, we don't do conversations over the phone or our entire conversation over an email. We get on Skype and have a video Skype conversation, because then we can actually really see each other. It's so much easier to connect by doing that.
Yeah, they say that, you know, a picture's worth 1,000 words. Well, at 30 pictures per second in a video, you get up into the millions of words. In fact, a minute of video isn't equivalent to a copy of War and Peace. It's actually equivalent to four copies of War and Peace. If you're using
right.
the picture for 1,000 words.
That analogy, that's awesome.
So, but I mean, the other thing, though, I mean, that's kind of a fun way of looking at it. But the fact is, there's a huge advantage of video over text for a number of reasons. First of all, text is random access. You can skim. You can start at the beginning. You can jump to the end. You can then bounce back and forth. You can just, you know, read the highlights, and your message doesn't remain intact. You don't necessarily get a complete pass through your message and deliver it effectively to the audience. Whereas video is like a Roman scroll. You sort of have to begin in the beginning and you crank through it until you get to the end. You can't skim it. You can't, in theory, you can jump around, but most people don't do that. We're kind of trained to watch from the beginning and go through to the end. And so you're more likely to get your message delivered completely with a video. One thing is, people will sometimes drop out early on in your video, and this is something I don't think I've heard anybody else say. Everybody says make sure that you include a call to action in your video. You know, at the end, show that you've got how to get in touch or what the deal is or some bonus or call for a discount or whatever you want them to do. And definitely you want to make sure you do that. But the thing that I don't hear people telling other people to do is make sure that there is a call to action in the beginning of your video. So that if nothing else, if they just watch 10 seconds and then bomb out, they've at least seen your website. Or they've seen a picture of the product, or they've seen something that is going to identify your business to them. So if you do a video, make sure that you've got some sort of call to action element in that first 15 seconds.
Right, and that's very cool because you're right. I have not heard anybody else say that. Everybody talks about making sure there's a call to action at the end, but I don't think I've heard anybody else say make sure you have one at the beginning as well. So that's a huge tip right there. So cool. I mean, we're going to have to start wrapping things up here. So real quick, if you could give people one action step, what's the first thing they need to do right away that they're going to start seeing some results with, what would you say that would be?
Get one video on your website. Doesn't matter how good it is or anything, just ship it. Get it up there quick, put it up there, start getting the benefits. You can always replace it. The beauty of online video is you own it. It's not like Yellow Page ad where you have to keep paying for it month after month. It's not somebody else's publication, so you know they decide whether it's still available or not. It's all under your control. You own it, and so just put it up. You can then worry about getting a better one and replacing it, but at least get that one up and get it start working for you.
There you go. That's easy enough. Well, cool. Thank you so much, Alfred. Where is, how can people get a hold of your book and how can they find you?
Okay. The book is available. It's only in print. It's not available as an ebook yet, but it's available in print. You can buy it on Amazon. You can buy it through Barnes & Noble. You can also walk into any bookstore in the country and ask them to order it for you, and they'll be able to do that because it's in the Ingram catalog. But you certainly can get it from Amazon, and I believe, Eli, you said you're going to be able to put a link up for that?
Yes. Well, we'll actually put the link for the book right below the show notes on this video. So if you're listening to this on the podcast, all you have to do is just go to our website, drivingyourmarketing.com, and look for this show. And we'll have all the links and everything right below there.
And if you want to get in touch with me, it's easy enough. You can go to my website, which is thecenterforsmallbusiness.com, www.thecenterforsmallbusiness.com, or you can reach me at at APOR, A-P like Peter, O-O-R, at tcfsb.com. The TCFSB is The Center for Small Business.
All right. Very cool. Well, Alfred, thank you so much. You gave us some great, awesome stuff. We look forward to helping you any way we can and look forward to, if anybody's out there and you're just thinking about getting into video, some people are still even saying video is the way of the future. I haven't been saying that for the last couple of years. I've been saying video is here now and you just need to take advantage of it because if you don't, you're going to be dead in the water in another year. Your competition's going to beat you out purely because they took advantage of it. So now's the time, get it started. And just like Alfred said, you don't have to start with a big fancy production. I mean, take out your flip camera. If you got an iPhone or an Android smartphone, they have really good cameras now. Start with that.
Almost all digital cameras can now take high definition video.
Yeah.
There's another tip. If you have a choice of doing it in high definition or standard, absolutely do high definition. Do it at least 720p for your video. It comes across as more professional and more current. The low resolution stuff just doesn't play.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, cool. Thank you so much, Alfred. This was awesome. As always, let us know if there's anything we can do to help you out.
Thanks so much. It's been a pleasure.
Hey there, this is Eli again, and I got a question for you. Do you have a roadmap for marketing your business? If you're consistently looking for new marketing ideas just to keep your business going, then you need to check out smallbusinessmarketingroadmap.com and download the free special report that I created to help you create a marketing plan that will thrive in any economy. Again, that's smallbusinessmarketingroadmap.com. Go get it, read it, and start the road trip of your lifetime. See you on the other side.